Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I mentioned in the announcements, today, January 1st on the church calendar is not New Year's Day. That's in the church world, that's actually the first Sunday of Advent. But in the church's calendar, January 1st is a festival that celebrates the name of Jesus, which was the last verse that I just read from the second chapter of Luke, that after 8 days, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was named Jesus. And we have this festival for some interesting reasons, one of which is that in the celebration of New Year's, as we have it in January, actually comes from pagan traditions. All of the names of our months come from Roman gods and goddesses and that kind of thing. And the earliest church was always casting about on New Year's Day for something alternative to the great pagan, feasting and rejoicing that happened on New Year's Day. And so they tried a bunch of different things to do on New Year's, different from the Romans. But then finally, as the centuries unfolded, the church settled on December the 25th, in the West anyway, the Western church settled on December 25th as the birthday of Jesus, as the celebration for Christmas. And then when the church opened its Bible and it realized that after 8 days, Jesus was circumcised and named, that landed on January 1st, and problem solved. They knew what to do on New Year's Day. And so here we are celebrating the 8th day of Christmas and the name of Jesus. And it's good that we do so, because as we celebrate the name, or actually today I want to think of it as the naming of Jesus, we are remembering that Jesus was born in a particular time and in a particular place and among a particular people, among the Jewish people. And names and the way that they're given often tell us something important about someone's culture or their history. I recently learned that in Ethiopia, among some cultures in Ethiopia, names work by giving a child a given name, and then the first name, what we would call a last name, is actually just the first name of the child's father. And so within a generation, the last name changes as the names of the fathers change. In the Netherlands, where my husband is from, they only acquired last names at the turn of the 19th century when Napoleon had invaded. As I understand the story, Napoleon insisted that Dutch people take last names, and there were some jokesters who thought this was going to be a passing fad. And when Napoleon was out, last names would also, go the way of extinction. And so some people chose names like Nachtgeboren, on the assumption that they wouldn't have to stick with that for a long time. And they were right. Napoleon did not stick around, but last names did, and now there are lots of Dutch people settled with a last name that means born naked. The name of Jesus, I actually have also other examples of things Dutch people did, but they're not appropriate for this setting. with respect to last names. But the name of Jesus also has a meaning. It means he saves. And the angels disclosed it to Mary before he was born. And the angels also disclosed to the shepherds that what this Savior would do would be the Savior for them and would bring peace to the whole world and goodwill among all. The circumstances of his naming, that extra verse, verse 21 from chapter 2 in Luke's gospel, may seem a lot less dramatic than the appearances of the angels. But it matters, because what it tells us is that Jesus' family were faithful Jewish people, and Jesus was named as any Jewish boy is, on the 8th day and with his circumcision. This verse is telling us and reminding us that Jesus was Jewish. And that's the force of our lesson from Galatians that Jeannie just read for us a few moments ago. When God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, Galatians says, the law was the Torah, the Jewish law that shaped the faith and life of Israel. And that is where God chose God's own son to be born and from whom God chose a savior. Now, I think it's worth thinking about this at the beginning of this new year, because we still live by the pagan calendar also. And for us, this is a new time. And it's worth thinking about in the season of Christmas, because we celebrate at Christmas that God came to us and became a human being like us, fully human just as we are. He wasn't God wearing a human mask or God who just seemed kind of human, or he wasn't like a God brain in a human body. Jesus was fully human just as we are, and he had thoughts and emotions and feelings and a body. And just like all of us, he was born receiving a cultural inheritance from his people. Part of being human means being part of a family and being part of a culture and receiving languages and customs. Born 2,000 years ago, we're saying that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, Jesus is a very different kind of human being than us. He was human like us, but he was part of a very different culture than the one that we know. Most of us do not have Jewish heritage, although some Christians today living still do. He's fully human like us, but different than us. He's the savior of the whole world by being born to a particular people at a particular time in fulfillment of God's particular promises to them. And this tells us a couple of things. The first thing I think it tells us is that God is, through this birth, sending us a message about how we think about our own culture, how we think about cultures in general, our languages and our circumstances. They're all dimensions of being human, and God can use them. God speaks to us using the English language. But God isn't limited to English. In Ethiopia, God can speak Oromo or Amharic, and in the Netherlands, God can speak Dutch. We don't have to use the original language that Jesus used in order to hear God's word. We can hear it in our own. So there's a way in which this naming of Jesus tells us about how God can bless culture and use it. But by being different than us, by being a Jewish boy, and by God coming to us in that way, God also sets us free from the terrible sin of thinking that our own language or our own ethnicity is somehow better than anyone else's or more blessed. I mean, we usually feel comfortable with people who look like us, who talk like us, who eat food like us. But on the other hand, this Jesus, this savior of the whole world who came in a particular time and a particular place to gather other people of different times and different places and other cultures into one family, I mean, God is comfortable with a really big family with lots of different people in it. God sent a son born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those under the law. Why, says Galatians? So that we might receive adoption as children. And God saves the world by adopting many others, like us and different from us, into God's family. I think it's worth thinking in this new year about being incorporated into a Jewish Savior's family, and in the way that love that is family creating, that knocks down the barriers between people, that embraces what we might call the diversity of the whole human family. It's worth thinking about that, because that love of God that has adopted us, I think, should direct our own attitudes about the people among whom Jesus was born. And that gets to the specific situation in which we find ourselves in this culture and in this time. We live in a diverse country with lots of different people. We are Christian, but there are people who are not, and there are lots of folks who are Jewish. In fact, there's a Jewish congregation here in Butler, just about 4 blocks north of here. The week prior to Christmas, Cantor McCall, their spiritual leader, sent to some of her Christian colleagues a statement of the Council of Centers on Jewish-Christian Relations, addressing the rise in anti-Semitism all across our own country over the last several years, and in particular increasing over this last year, with celebrities and politicians underwriting some things, as well as attacks and threats of attacks on Jewish communities and institutions have just exploded. You may have seen in the Butler Eagle, just a couple of weeks ago, an interview with Cantor McCall describing when they gather for worship, they have an armed security guard because they know that they are at risk. There were specific threats against Pittsburgh area synagogues just this last fall. Anyway, this document that Cantor McCall sent simply asked Christians to remember that Jesus was Jewish and to remember their incorporation into a family of God's people that starts with a Jewish savior and incorporates a wide number of different cultures. So to embrace both being particular and universal all at the same time, but specifically to remember that Jesus was a Jew. And that's what Luke wants to really tell us in today's gospel. By Joseph and Mary taking Jesus and having him circumcised and naming him on the eighth day, Luke was trying to show us this is a good Jewish family. They did what God asked them to do. If you hear anti-Semitic, which is to say anti-Jewish tropes, conspiracy theories, jokes, imagine them as if they're being told about Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. If we claim to worship this child, named Jesus by an angel and also by his Jewish family, and if we count as the substance of salvation, as the thing of salvation itself being drawn into God's family, then we can't be silent when hatred's on the rise. Cantor McCall has invited us to attend Shabbat services at her synagogue, with her congregation in the weeks to come. I'll be giving you more information about that as I get more details. And I know some of my colleagues in the Butler Clergy Network are underway to plan simply a demonstration of people of faith against hatred. You'll get those invitations. They are opportunities for us to show up and be present, in a sense, to live out our incarnational faith. For if we say that God has become human, God just didn't think thoughts about us, God didn't just have feelings about us, but God came to be present, then part of our faith is to practice that presence with others, you know, showing that we are a loving people in a community of love, returning thanks for our inclusion in God's family by showing up and showing love. For ultimately, the name of Jesus is not just a word, but it is a name that declares who Jesus is and what he does. And in our baptism, it is given to each one of us. The name Beloved, the name Saved, a name that invites us to follow the radical love of God, a name given by the angel, a name given by his Jewish family. Amen.